Well, it is 11:40 in the morning here on UNCRadio.com. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. You are listening to Dave's Gone By, which we do every week here at the station. We're still doing Inside Broadway because a couple of days ago, I was invited to be a phone guest on WVTL Radio in Rochester, New York, for a show called Coffee with Cudmore, a guy named Bob Cudmore, who was a guest on this program a couple of years ago, and I've been a guest on his show a few times over the years, talking about theater. In fact, two or three weeks ago, I was on there talking about the Tony Awards, and now more specifically, Bob was real interested in Spider-Man, because it was, even though it didn't even open last season, it was one of the big stories in theater of last season. So he wanted to talk about that, and I thought it went really, really well. Sometimes, you know, he tapes pretty early in the morning, so I'm a little tired and getting my thoughts together. Sometimes my throat isn't open enough, so I'm barely getting the words out. But this particular time, I think I was kind of on. So let's hear from June 21st on the Bob Cudmore Show, Spider-Man.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is truly none other than Jaime the drummer, except no substitutes. He's come in not because there's a contest. Don't bother calling the show. No. Thank you, Jaime. Because we have a showbiz guest. He'll be on in just a moment. He is Dave Lefkowitz. He's going to talk with us about the Broadway stage. I know, another pretentious twit topic of mine, but the current temperature is 69 degrees. Here's Dave Green with the weather for the first day of summer.
Coffee with Cudmore.
Life 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
Again, Jaime's here from Rural Grove. Good to bring the drum set in to welcome our guest, Dave Lefkowitz, all the way from Colorado to talk about the Broadway stage. Isn't that pretty strange?
Good morning, Bob Cudmore. And no, there's nothing strange about it, nor are you a pretentious twit in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I'm pretty pretentious.
Musical theater.
I'm pretty pretentious. Oh, you mean because, liking musical theater isn't something that pretentious twits like?
Maybe it used to be, but, you know, check any 15 to 17-year-old and ask if they're watching Glee. Or if they come to New York, what's the first thing they want to do? You know? And they want to see theater. Hopefully they also want to see non-musical plays as well.
Right.
But, maybe I'm kind of a pretentious twit myself, but it's gone so far beyond a fringe niche and kind of entertainment now. It is right in the center, right in the heart of American culture. I mean, what is American Idol but a bunch of people getting up and sometimes singing show tunes?
That's right. Let's put on a show. And also, for example, the main reason that I asked to have you on is my co-host in the morning, who doesn't like topics that are pretentious or twitty, Dave Green, said, you know, what is with this Spider-Man musical? Isn't that dangerous? It seems to me Spider-Man is sort of like a reality show, or like we've got a story today about a man from up here, from Mayfield, who's going to be the host of 101 Ways to Leave a Game Show, a man named Jeff Sutphin, and which, what they're going to do is they'll either put the person on the wings of a biplane, drop him or her from a speeding 18-wheeler. You get the idea. I mean, it seems that maybe Spider-Man is trying to create the atmosphere of a reality show.
If you want to be jokey about it, perhaps you can say that. But the real Spider-Man story is you have a brilliant visionary director, Julie Taymor, who gave the world not only The Lion King, but some pretty extraordinary films. If you've ever seen the Frida Kahlo film that she did, she's a marvelous, brilliant director. And they went to her after she made billions of dollars for Disney with The Lion King and said, okay, you know, you do Spider-Man and we will give you the whole toy box, all the crayons with all the colors, all the money you want, just give us something amazing. And what she did was give us something amazing. I mean, to be honest, I haven't seen it. I'm only going by what friends have told me and what I have read. But she created something amazing. She also created something that was a mess, and that turned out to be a danger to some of the people physically involved. It's a horrible analogy, but, you know, when Chinese people were building the railroads in this country, a lot of them died.
Yeah.
Horrible. You know, they worked for miserable wages, et cetera. But we have railroads.
Okay, not necessarily a fair analogy, but if you take what Tamor was trying to do with her design, with her acrobatics, with her stunts, with all of that going on, unfortunately, safety was not always the premier concern.
Let me ask you this. I mean, do you suppose that it's anything at all, like we also on this radio station do a lot with the auto racing. Our friend Ed Lamberton, we talk about local racing and NASCAR, and the NASCAR fans have been accused for generations of going to the races to watch for crashes. Do you suppose that's why people are attracted to Spider-Man?
I think that could have been true in the first few months that it started previews. First of all, people were just excited about this huge musical, the most expensive musical ever. It was budgeted at $65 million, and it's gone way, way over that. Whereas I grew up in a time when musicals, if it was a $10 million musical, that was enormous. So this was a musical with the budget of a movie. So people were like, oh my gosh, wow, this is going to be big. Because that's what people want to see. They want to, sometimes, especially tourists, they want to see big, expensive feeling musicals like Miss Saigon or Wicked, things like that. So there's an interest there. And then I have to say one of the reasons that it became so huge is a colleague and friend of mine, a fellow named Michael Riedel of the New York Post. He writes a column twice a week that is a pure and simple, honest and truthful gossip column. And he ran with Spider-Man because he has those news instincts. And he knew, this is going to be big no matter what. Whether it flops horribly or whether it's the biggest hit ever, it's this gigantic story with all these different web-like tangles to it. And when people started getting hurt, he just was like, oh my gosh, is OSHA checking this out? Is the union checking this out? How's this going to fly? Literally.
Oh, wait a minute.
Became the story.
Jaime's asking me a question here. He says, He wonders if the drummer gets to wear a helmet in this.
what people don't talk about is I don't think anybody has been injured for many, many months. I mean, I know that sort of, doesn't do well for the people who did get injured in the show in the early months. But, think about it. The news has not been involved in the safety issues for a very long time now on that show. Right. And it's still been selling more than $1 million a week. So people are obviously interested in something else. The fact that the score is written by Bono and the Edge of U2. That it is a Julie Taymor production, that it did manage to open, that it is telling the Spider-Man comic book Marvel Stan Lee stories. So there's more to it than that.
Now, I know. You had also emailed me. I don't know if it was this gentleman you're talking about from the Post now or somebody else from the Post saying that this show, the one problem is having is that it was so expensive to make, it's really got to rake in the dough to break even.
That is an absolute key, and that was the big shocker for me when I had Mike Riedel from the New York Post on my Tony radio show a couple of weeks ago. I said, now, wait a minute, most musicals, they're between, if they gross somewhere in the range of $500,000 to $700,000 a week, that's their nut. That's what keeps them in the black. And then if they go over that, that's profit, and it starts paying back the investors and making lots of money. So you have shows like Wicked and Jersey Boys and Mamma Mia that routinely gross $1 million a week or more, and their operating costs are well below that, and so people have made multi-million dollars on these productions. So I figured it was the same with Spider-Man. For all the trouble that it's had, all the costs, all the bad PR, and also the mediocre to bad reviews that it's gotten, the show is selling more than $1 million a week worth of tickets. And Michael, apprised me of the fact. He said, Dave, the show costs more than $1 million a week to run, which I've never heard of. Wow. That's amazing to me. And so if they're only pulling in, let's say, $1.1 million, they're probably losing money that week. So it isn't just the fact that they would have to run 5 to 10 years at near capacity to break. They have to be almost at capacity for 5 years. Huh. The only way to make money is to tour it cheaply.
Jaime was just telling me that where he used to play at the Falling In, it didn't cost that much every week. It was just
the Falling In. Okay. Yeah. No, it's very generally funny. Not.
No.
Now,
Point. Okay, so Spider-Man's great. Go see it, but it probably costs a fortune to go see it, and probably got to wait 100 years to get a ticket, don't you?
No. First of all, Spider-Man is not supposedly great. It is an attempt at doing something great that failed. They took out Julie Taymor because you know, she had some visual things that were amazing, but the story was an absolute mess, and people weren't that crazy about the U2 score. So they brought in some new writers and revised it, finally opened the show. And by the way, let me also mention the fact that although we consider it kind of something from last season, and they even appeared a little bit on the Tony Awards, mm-hmm. Spider-Man waited so long to open. It isn't even technically a new musical until this current Broadway season. That's why it wasn't nominated for any Tonys at all. It couldn't be. Mm. It didn't even officially open until June 14th. So they brought in new people, and they fixed it up. They fixed up the book. They made it more coherent. They tell a real story. Whether they turned it into something good according to reviews and stuff like that, no, it's still what they did was they made it clearer, but they didn't necessarily make it wonderful. Some of the magic is gone.
Okay.
You know, so I wouldn't say it's wonderful, go see it. I also wouldn't say you'll never be able to get tickets because it's a huge theater. And I think if you want tickets, you can still buy them. They'll be expensive. But I don't think you have to scalp them or anything. They're around.
Okay, you know? So you can go see it, but it's not the greatest. But it's got wonderful production value.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. What do you think, Jaime? Jaime loves it. we've talked about this before, but I saw a piece about, we're talking with Dave Lefkowitz, theater critic. He's out in Colorado, does a radio show, also publishes Performing Arts Insider for his friends in Manhattan, where they put on many of these plays, that the theater, as you indicated at the beginning, it has become edgy, it's become modern, it's become what's happening with the Book of Mormon and the thing with the horses and all that. I mean, I saw that somewhere. Could it be Time Magazine? I'm waiting for one of my many doctors who stick things into me and so forth. That was the case? I mean, well, it is the case. I mean, they're doing very edgy stuff on Broadway.
Which is wonderful to see. I want to say War Horse is particularly edgy. It's incredibly beautiful and visionary in the way it's presented and constructed, with these horses and the way they're made out of wire and mesh and all these different materials, and they're very lifelike. But the story itself, I mean, War Horse is an old-fashioned family kind of show that could have been done 40 years ago, but Mormon, no. And you have to play the Mother Effer with the Hat by Stephen Adler Yurgis, came out of nowhere, and people were afraid they couldn't market it. Mm-hmm. You couldn't put the full title on a marquee or in a New York Times ad or on a radio ad on WVTL because, you know, it had that word in there. And meanwhile, reviews came out, and the show, which was supposed to close in a week, is still running. It's making very good money, and it didn't win the Tony Award. War Horse won for Best Play. But still, out of nowhere, that came through. And I think it's been a slow evolution of accepting things on Broadway, because Broadway was actually starting to get behind the curve. It used to be the place where the issues were discussed that you couldn't talk about on television, you know, homosexuality and abortion, what have you. And then, you know, television started to change a little bit with Norman Lear, and sitcoms, you know, started dealing with other things and these dramas, and then cable came along, and language went all over the place, which TV followed suit. And suddenly TV became ahead of the curve on all these things. And now Broadway is finally catching up. And how do they do it? They get guys who wrote South Park, to come up with a musical. Or you get revisions of old things that make them modern, like Spring Awakening was a pretty out there, very strong and good musical with bad language and updating a 100-year-old play, but making it extremely rock and roll and extremely dark and modernist.
Wow. I tell you, you know a lot of stuff. You should be teaching out there in Colorado, are you? Or are you?
I have. I have taught at the University of Northern Colorado, where I'm currently getting a second master's degree because, you know, it looked like potato chips. You have one, you know, you have to have another right after it. But
Jaime just gave you a drum roll for that. He thought it was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Now, I've taught playwriting here. I'm hoping to teach some more here or at other schools locally, so I'm poking around for that. But mainly I'm programming director of UNC's radio station, which I'm quite proud of, and doing Performing Arts Insider, and doing TogleTheater.com, and also hosting Dave's Gone By on Saturday mornings. So I keep busy.
Yeah, I guess you do keep busy, Dave Lefkowitz, and it's a pleasure talking with you. And Jaime and I wish you the best, and maybe you'll get to see Spider-Man. We could do a radiothon to raise the money for the tickets for you.
I was one of the good guys. I waited. Whereas critic friends of mine were running to see it in previews because it had been in previews so long, they were like, this is ridiculous. They're charging full price for tickets, and consumers aren't knowing whether it's any good or not. So they went out and bought their own tickets, or their newspapers did for them, and they ran to see the show long before the official opening. But finally, it did open, so now, if I can get to New York in time, probably running well into October, I will do that. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome, Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, Dave's Gone By is his radio show on the WUNCradio.com. You can hear it. You have a good day. Good to talk to you.
You too. Thank you so much, Bob.
Bye-bye. 9:49 is the time.
Actually, the time is 11:56 in the morning here at UNC Radio. It's not WUNC. Sorry, Bob. It's UNCradio.com on the internet. It is 11:57 a.m. That was my appearance on the Bob Cudmore Show, Coffee with Cudmore on WVTL just a couple of days ago, talking Spider-Man. He's a really good radio host. I mean, the voice and the questions, I could live without Jaime and the drumming thing, but everybody's got their shtick. What can I tell you?